Hello, my lovelies. Welcome to Pop Culture Draft Night here on the Front Row Network, the podcast where esoteric pop culture knowledge can put you on the road to cash, prizes, and prestige, minus the cash and the prizes. My name is Phil Rockwell, and I'm the host and commissioner of Pop Culture Draft Night. And tonight, I'm joined by three Front Row mainstays who will be competing in our first draft where you, the listener, will determine the winner. And we'll get to that, but first, let's meet tonight's combatants. First, you know him as the host of Front Row's Guilty Pleasures, a regular contributor to the Front Row website, and one half of the 2019 Pop Culture Draft Night Academy Award Draft Champions. He is the first returning competitor to Pop Culture Draft Night that I have not procreated with. Please welcome Lou Hare.
Thank you very much. I am already in a deep depression over the picks I'm not going to get to make.
Next, we have a familiar Front Row figure who is new to PCBN. He's a writer, a guest, a guru. He single-handedly keeps the Front Row Network self-esteem in the stratosphere. Possibly the nicest person I've ever met on the internet. The Tom Hanks of the Front Row Network, Mr. Steve Sykes.
Oh my God, Tom Hanks. Wow, rarefied air. Hello, everybody.
And finally, the third head of the Hydra known as Front Row Quad Cities. He's the co-host of Flashbacks and a regular on Full Disclosure and Lou Hare's Brackets of Madness. And he's my Row Knows Nothing war buddy, Mr. Ryan Lutens.
Thanks for having me. I'm ready for all the prestige and for these two knuckleheads to go down.
You gentlemen have been chosen from an expansive list of five or six to compete in the From Here to There draft. You will each be building a team consisting of 12 of the most famous vehicles, rides, and steeds in pop culture. If it can get you from here to there, it's in play on tonight's draft. But there are two caveats. Only one pick per franchise. So if you're counting on a vehicle-heavy franchise to carry you through multiple rounds, you're going to be in a world of hurt. And if you make a pick that has had several iterations over the course of its history, you must choose which iteration you are selecting. The draft will follow the snake format, and as I mentioned, you, the listeners, will get to decide who has the best team. We'll be posting the teams on social media for public voting. But before that can happen, we need teams. Draft order was decided by an online staring contest that lasted approximately 9 hours, and the champion gets the first pick, Mr. Steve Sykes.
Yay! The old double-edged sword. All right. Well, I believe that my pick is just about to pull up. Hold on. Oh, yes, there it is. Okay, so I picked for my very first pick overall the TARDIS from the Doctor Who franchise.
TARDIS. Now, I have to be honest, probably my biggest sci-fi blind spot is Doctor Who. So tell me something about TARDIS. What makes TARDIS so special that it deserves the number one pick in our draft?
The TARDIS, it stands for Time and Relative Dimensions in Space. It is not only a spaceship, it is a time machine. It is camouflaged currently as a police box / phone booth. It's bigger on the inside. It breaks the laws of physics. You can go literally anywhere at any time. It has captured our collective imagination for 56 years. And it also serves as a literal and metaphorical door to adventure for the Doctor's ride-alongs and for the viewer by extension.
I think you sold it. Wow, that's
prepared, folks.
Lou, yeah, you have thoughts on the TARDIS?
Yeah, well, I think you said it, Steve. That is a solid pick. I just wanted to chime in, Phil, and acknowledge it as one of my pop culture blind spots. But I think it's so ubiquitous enough that I've heard of it even without ever having seen an episode of Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that's because I once went to a Doctor Who-themed wedding, which was very cool. So I at least learned about it from that. But yeah, you know, it's a solid pick there. It was on my list, but you got it before me. Good job.
Moving on, Ryan, your first pick.
Always the hardest pick because it kind of determines where you're going. While Steve picked an icon, I myself have to pick an icon. This is a vehicle that is synonymous with justice. because it drives around one of the founding members of the Justice League, and I'm going to have to go with the 1989 Batmobile from Tim Burton's Batman.
1989. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. I think it has to be between that and the television program, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't – it became more tank-like as things went on and just sort of lost the mystique a little bit.
It was a hard pick between that and Adam West, but, I mean, they're both iconic.
I too, had the Batmobile high on my list, but mine was the original Turbines to Speed.
And different than the Batman Forever Batmobile that had, like, its open rib cage showing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and then, the neon bat symbol hubcaps, you know.
Wow, I forgot that one was even there.
Never forget.
I'll remember it forever.
I just got done watching Batman and Robin, and my favorite is... it's literally just a seat. Like, George Clooney is completely exposed, so if there's any type of damage, he's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, practicality was never Schumacher's ballywick. All right, the Batmobile is off the board. Lou Hare.
Okay, so it's a snake draft here, so I know I got two picks.
You do.
I've got a lot of options, but I'm going to go a little strategically and pick two that I think my opponents would probably pick if they are left on the board. So first off, I'm amassing a fleet. You need different things for different needs. So I'm going to take to the air first.
Sure.
And if I want to go by the air, but also I don't want people to mess with me, what better than a dragon? So my first pick is Drogon.
Drogon. Nice.
I knew it.
Absolutely was in my blind spot, even though I love the show.
A month from a somewhat disappointing end to the show, and Drogon comes back with a vengeance as a first-round draft pick.
That's where he flew off to. He flew off to my house because he's now mine.
That's right.
He is
That's
mine.
Right. Ryan, I heard your wails of pain.
So that was definitely on my radar, and that was my tough choice between that and the Batmobile. So, Lou, I'm gunning for you, man.
All right, Lou, you got one more before we turn around.
All right. Well, in case I find myself out in space and I need to travel around, I think I need myself a good spaceship. I am shocked that neither one of my two top picks for space have been taken. And I'm going to go with a controversial pick, even though I prefer its rival franchise and its maybe more iconic vehicle. I'm going to go with the Enterprise.
Starship Enterprise.
Ugh.
Now Steve's in pain.
Yeah.
I think we have our first controversy. The Starship Enterprise is a second round pick. Yep. The Trekkies are going to descend on us like vultures.
Scott has already abandoned the podcast.
Oh.
Now which Enterprise?
Well, oh, yeah, pick a year, Lou.
Okay, well, I'm going to go. I'm more familiar with the contours of the Next Generation Enterprise.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with that one because it also looks like there's not a lot of spaceships that also look like they're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one, I'm like, okay, you're going to get in fights, but there's a lot of downtime. They're like firemen. You're just kind of waiting for an alarm to go off. And so they've got all sorts of stuff you can do on that. There's lounging areas, and that's what I really care about.
It is kind of a posh hotel.
It is.
Like, I think it almost is like a cruise ship in a way, like just the interior, just the aesthetic. It's very, it is very, like there should be jazz music playing.
Well, this was the first starship that had families on board.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you're going to need a lot more of the creature comforts.
Sure.
Like the jazz band aforementioned in 10 Forward. So I think that's a solid iteration to pick.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Enterprise is gone, as is Drogon. Ryan, can you recover?
Sadly, I cannot. but like Lou, I want to go, you know, land, air, and sea. Mm-hmm. So to me, I've already got something on the land, and I've got plenty of things for the air. I only have one real pick for the sea, and so I have to make it known that I'm picking this because I'm a little upset with myself that I did not pick it right away because it is my favorite movie of all time. But I am picking the Orca from Jaws.
Oh, thank God. Excellent. I thought you were going to go with the Speedboat from Baywatch.
Orca from Jaws. What better thing than a small boat that can take on a 25-foot shark? It didn't live to tell the tale, but it sure put up one heck of a fight.
So point A for effort from the Orca, even if it's scuba diving tourist trap. Now,
does it come with its own grizzled captain?
Absolutely.
Like, okay.
Yeah, his name is Ryan Loomis.
Okay.
I gotta say, you guys have left me an opening. I'm going to actually have my top two overall on my big board on my team, which shocks me to no end.
Mm-hmm.
My number two is going to be another science fiction vehicle. It's going to be the other 900-pound franchise in the room. I am going to be picking the Millennium Falcon from Star Wars.
Millennium Falcon.
Yes.
Almost dropped to the third round. You should all be ashamed of yourselves.
It's the muscle car of science fiction. Han Solo talks about her the same way that Bob Falfa, his character in American Graffiti, might talk about a dragster. Super iconic. And, that and the TARDIS is a 1-2 punch that I think would rival anybody's team.
Yeah, and the TARDIS could fit in the interior of the Millennium Falcon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's what I was alluding to when I said I was between that or the Enterprise. But I got to say, the Millennium Falcon, it's very fast. It looks cool. But, you know, what do you do inside? Their one lounge area doesn't look very comfortable. Like, it's just got metal chairs. It's not, I don't think you go on a nice space adventure with that. I mean, for racing, you know, fine, but I think Enterprise has got it all.
Well, see, here's the thing. If you're about to be atomized by the Empire, I think your first concern is not going to be, do I have a cup holder?
My first concern is always, do I have a cup
always
holder?
Always a cup holder.
If I do not have something to hold my beverage, what am I even doing here?
Yeah, and another thing that I don't think we've mentioned about the Millennium Falcon is for most of its existence, at least in the film franchises, it's falling apart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That thing could leave you stranded in the middle of space. And, you know, there are worse people to be stranded in space with than its occupants. But at the same time,
it's the Fiat of spaceships. I mean, it goes fast, but it's going to jam up on you eventually.
Steve's got another pick still.
I do have another pick. And this one is actually was not on my original big board. And it came to me this afternoon that I had not thought of this, which was an oversight on my part, but luckily I get to amend my oversight by picking the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Of course.
Time travel machine. I have a thing for time travel. I actually have a story, which is probably best for another podcast, but I actually rode in a DeLorean once through the streets of downtown Miami way back in the day.
And live to tell the tale.
And live to tell the tale, apparently. But yes, the DeLorean, you got to go with it. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, I was almost certain it was going to go DeLorean, Enterprise, Millennium Falcon in the first round. But hey, that's why we do these things. Ryan.
solid pick. You know, I thought this afternoon I had done the same thing. I was like, you know, DeLorean. I was thinking about time travel, and I was like, what could I do? And I was like, DeLorean. Then I had to think a little bit more. So I came up with some other ideas, and I'll save those for later.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised, Steve. You get two time travel devices there. So
that's the way the draft fell, you know? I mean, best vehicle available.
And that's the thing. That's I overestimated. I think I overthought myself on my first two picks, but kudos.
Excellent.
All right, Ryan, you're up for your third round pick.
All right, so I've got land, I've got sea, and you guys have already chosen some spaceships, so I figure I'd get this one taken care of before somebody else takes it.
Run on spaceships.
I'm going to go with the spaceship that came from a cult classic that left us far too soon. I'm talking about Serenity from Firefly.
Oh, nice. God bless you,
nicely
sir.
Done.
What better mode of transportation for a band of outlaws than something called Serenity? I mean, this thing is scrappy, but it gets the job done. I mean, they evade the government, they evade the Reavers. It's great.
And its butt lights up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a beautiful ship. I think one of the most sort of profound memories of that show is just watching the engine light up and the ship zoom away in silence.
Yep.
Fantastic pick. I'm a dedicated brown coat, so absolutely love the pick. However, I must point out the hypocrisy. If you're going to knock the pick of the Millennium Falcon because it's a bucket of bolts, you know, there was a whole episode that was premised on Serenity being dead in space. So
I didn't knock it as much as others did. To be fair.
All right, Lou.
All right. I've gone into space. I've got a flying beast. Maybe I need to go. I need something on the ground. And I think if you're going to be hitting the open road and you need to go fast, there's no more iconic vehicle than Burt Reynolds' Trans Am from Smokey and the Bandit.
Ouch.
Sure.
Ooh.
Nice. Sure. Yeah. Another one that, having never seen the film, but I know that vehicle and the images that it's left on just the zeitgeist.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect for outrunning Smokies. It's perfect for hauling beer across country, you know, being the point person for your tanker of Coors. what else do you need?
It is the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer of hooch transportation.
It's also the fast southern car that hasn't been canceled yet. So, and I'll leave that in case one of you actually decides you want to pick
a little teaser. Yeah. Brian.
Solid pick, Lou. I mean, you know, even the car itself. And then when you say, you know, Burt Reynolds, you think of two things: him lying naked on a bearskin rug, and then, of course, the Bandit.
That is not one of the things I think of, but to each his own.
I was thinking about him stomping a college kid outside of a limousine in Boogie Nights, but hey, you know, to each his own.
Live your best life, Ryan. We're here.
Mileage may vary.
Just because I have it up in my basement does not mean anything.
All right, Lou, you're number two. Oh, God help me. I apologize for that rhyme.
Oh, man, this is where it's going to get tough. I've gone by land. Let me go. I think sometimes you don't know where you need to go. It could be one place on this plane. It could be a whole nother dimension. So give me Doctor Strange's portals.
Very nice.
Oh.
Ooh.
Might have been a little bit of a reach, but I love me those portals.
It's a fourth round. I know. But, you know, we were trending very heavily sci-fi, so I was like, I didn't know if that was going to be on people's.
Sure. And as the only person who has seen everyone's lists, sometimes you guys are playing with fire more than you think.
I love Doctor Strange, and that would have never occurred to me, so that's a good pick.
And if at some point you need to, spoiler alert, bring like 50 people into one shot at the same time, mm-hmm. what else are you going to use?
Good call. That nice fire ring against maybe a dark, scorched earth sort of background. It's a beautiful, mm-hmm. beautiful image. And as the biggest Doctor Strange stan in the Front Row Network, which you can hear about in a certain podcast that I was not on but got talked about a lot, respect on the pick.
Thank you.
All right, Ryan.
Good pick. But do they Uber? Because not all of us know magic.
Well, I assume it comes with a manual.
Sure.
Like any mode of transportation, there's some sort of tutor. I mean, Doctor Strange didn't know how to operate it at some point.
Yeah, they have that whole library. Like, so
you just do the circle hands and think really hard. Right. You know, how hard can it be?
Okay, Ryan.
All right, second pick. So all of you have time machines, so I'd figure I'd get a time machine. And this is tough for me because there's one from a TV show and one from movies that I really, really want to pick. So I had to choose. And I'm going to go with the movie because I am a fan of history, and what better way to do a history product than get a project and then get into your own telephone booth and travel back and pick those guys up. So I'm picking the phone booth time machine, for Bill and Ted.
There you go.
Good. Yep. Absolutely on my list. But yeah, no, of course. Very, and it's very efficient. If you fit a lot of people in there,
right.
everything has its own number. It's just, hey, dial this up. There you go.
And go to that year. It's perfect.
Do you think when the sequel comes out that the phone booth is going to go away and it's just going to be like an app on a phone? Would that bum you out?
Ooh,
could be.
As the one who picked it, Ryan, would that bum you out?
It would, because, I mean, Bill and Ted are synonymous with that phone booth. So, I mean, it wouldn't be Bill and Ted without them getting in the phone booth.
That'll be interesting. I'd be interested to see.
Now, I
feel like they're going to spoil that on Instagram or something.
Probably.
I feel they'll use the phone booth and their kids are going to be like, what's that, Dad?
That's a very good point.
That joke will be in there.
The generational divide.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, to you for two picks.
All right. For my first pick, I'm going to follow the breadcrumbs that Phil so generously left. Or not Phil, Lou. What are names? I don't know. but I'm going to pick the General Lee from Dukes of Hazzard.
On my list.
Y'all can have it.
It's a little problematic because of the Confederate flag, but let's face it, every boy in America in the early 80s wanted the General Lee. The 1969 Dodge Charger with the Dixie horn, it was good for outrunning. It was good for outjumping. What's not to like?
One of the interesting things that I did as research for this, as I was going through these vehicles, literally every vehicle you can think of from the 80s, go back and read about how that show was made, and you will hear some bonkers stuff. There were approximately between 250 and 350 General Lees that were used in the 3 to 4 seasons of that show. Essentially, they were destroying 2 cars a show.
Wow.
Yeah. And then with the, they would use the old, some of the ones that were relatively still put together, they'd repaint them and use them as like set dressing on public streets and stuff. It's really interesting. All right, Steve.
The interesting thing that I learned in doing research for that particular pick is that the Deputy Enos actually had his own show for a season. I did not remember that at all.
What?
Yep. And the really cruel thing is that it got more episodes than Firefly. They made 18 episodes of that thing, and Enos moved out to L.A. To join the LAPD, and his partner was the voice of Sebastian in Little Mermaid. Put that.
I'm trying to connect Beverly Hills Cop and Hillbilly Cop together, and it's just not quite connecting. But
that's called comic tension.
Yeah, that's that's fascinating and horrifying. So your second pick, Steve.
My second pick,
the fifth round.
I'm a little car heavy at this point, but I'm going to stick with my big board, stick with my gut, go with another famous Trans Am, this time from 1982. I'm going to go with the kit from Knight Rider.
Sure.
Ooh.
Sure.
Actually listed on Wikipedia as a character, but...
I don't need to ask you which kit, right?
Oh, absolutely not. Not that awful Shelby in the reboot voiced by Val Kilmer. What was that?
It's all about Mr. Feeny.
And the theme was just such an earworm. So,
all right, Ryan.
Thinking about this, I wanted to make sure I had something that was in the air. I don't have anything that's in the air. So I'm going to choose something that... got people around in a post-apocalyptic world. Pretty ingenious way. It was a hovercraft. I am going to go with the Nebuchadnezzar from The Matrix.
Oh, interesting.
That is an erudite pick, my friend.
Okay.
The reason why I picked it, it's a hovercraft. It doesn't go into space, but it transports in a world and it can maneuver around. It's also got a great defense and an EMP in a world where everything is technology. An EMP will basically turn everything off. So, yeah, Nebuchadnezzar all the way.
Yeah, the only downside I saw of the Nebuchadnezzar was when I thought about the vehicles from The Matrix, I couldn't get the squids out of my head. And I was like, I know that's not what it looks like, but all I can think of is the squids on the side of it. I had to actually go back and look, and it jogs the memory immediately. I'm not even going to bother trying to spell that. All right, Lou.
Okay. Well, I cannot believe this one has fallen this low if we're just going for iconography. And so I got to take it now because I got to imagine somebody's going to pull it or we're going to get yelled at. Give me the Ecto-1 from Ghostbusters.
Ecto-1.
There you go. Third round. I will take it.
Yep. That was my number 10. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bonus points to anybody who can tell me all the things that were wrong with it when Ray Stans pulled up. He's like, nobody worry. I got the car.
Yeah. To be clear, I'm taking it post tune-up.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's not OG before it got the paint job.
No. This is full on.
And things like brake pads, right. Shocks.
Because technically, I don't think they get the license plate. It's not called the Ecto-1 until after they've purchased it. So there you go.
Sure. Very good pick. Shocked it's a fifth rounder.
I am too. Okay. So I'm feeling good. You mentioned post-apocalyptic. And I thought you were going to take this one, so now you have scared me into going ahead and taking it earlier than I thought. But give me Furiosa's war rig from Mad Max Fury Road.
No! Oh, man.
Awesome.
It's awesome. Not a quality draft unless you have that agonized scream.
Does it come with the guy playing the guitar?
I think that was a different vehicle.
That's
wasn't
actually
it?
Yeah. I had to make sure because I wasn't sure all the names of them, but I wanted the specific one with driven by Furiosa herself.
Okay.
Yeah, but definitely respect to the speaker vehicle. I don't know what you would call that thing. One of the more ingenious design moments of this decade. All right, Ryan.
All right, I am.
Find a balm for your wound.
I have the perfect balm, another vehicle, an iconic vehicle. I'm surprised it's gone this long without nobody saying it. But I'm going to pick the 1964 Aston Martin from Goldfinger.
There's my agonized scream.
You have to. I mean, Goldfinger was the Bond movie that started it all. And what better way for him to drive around with this Aston Martin? Very low tech.
As someone who's not a Bond guy, all I really know about an Aston Martin is it's expensive. Like, that's all I got. It's like, this is a very expensive car.
Oh, yeah.
There aren't many vehicles that are so intrinsically tied to
the Bond franchise.
A specific character. Yeah, the Bond franchise and just a specific character.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they brought it back in Skyfall, so I mean, that's so.
Right.
Solid pick.
All right, Steve, two for you, buddy.
Well, I'm going to reach out to the social media network in predicting how these next two picks will go over. I know our fan base, I think they will be pleased with my, what is this, sixth round pick?
Yep.
I'm going to go with Greased Lightning from Grease.
Playing to the theater kids.
Absolutely. I know what side my bread is buttered on.
Fair enough.
And, it's the only, I will make a bold prediction that this is the only vehicle that is immortalized in a Broadway show tune. So,
but I got nothing. Anybody else?
Nope.
No. I mean, although between the song Grease Lightning and just the General Lee, you are leaning heavily into the problematic faves fleet, Steve. So
yeah, there is that. And still car heavy. And I'm not going to change my car heaviness with my next pick either. I've gone way back in pop culture for most of my picks this far. But I'm going to go a little bit more recent. I'm going to pick Baby, the 67 Chevy Impala from Supernatural.
I love this pick.
Suck it.
That.
I mean, it's you've got the performance angle. Obviously, it's fast, it's cool, but also it comes with like a complete monster fighting kit in the trunk.
Sure.
So I think that is a solid pick, if I do say so myself.
I love that car. I'm not a car guy, but that car fit just so well with the whole aesthetic of that show. And just, I bailed on Supernatural after the 5 seasons and after the original creator left, but still super fond of that, of those first 5 seasons and that car. Ryan, you a fan as well?
I have to give it to Steve because he just put this on my radar and it's a little too late for me. So Steve, heck of a pick. All right.
Seventh round for you.
Okay. Since it's already been brought up, I'm going to go with fun and something that a lot of people know about. But this is something that you can literally hold in your hand, and you give it a good twirl, and you are literally flying. And talking about Mjolnir from Thor.
Oh, the only thing that I can think of that is just pure inertia. Because my understanding is you don't, like, you can't just hold it and fly. You have throw to spin it with yourself attached.
Yeah, you have to spin, you keep go. It spinning. So,
how do you not separate a shoulder?
Especially catching it on the rebound. Like, that's right. Gotta.
I mean, screw being worthy enough to pick it up. I want to know who's able to just flank. You know, like, that's some rotator cuff strength.
There's going to be some tears in later years.
It's all in the wrist.
Yeah, very good pick. Different than anything else we've seen thus far. Lou, what do you got?
Ooh, okay. You know what? I'm going to go back to back here with one particular kind of vehicle, but with two very different purposes. The first, I'm going to reach out to some of my 90s friends out there. I'm going to go with the Magic School Bus.
Ooh, that boy. Nice. Nice. I mean,
you can shrink that thing to get into anything. You can turn it into stuff. Like, it does everything. It's magic.
It and TARDIS are head-to-head on what is the most versatile.
Yeah. I mean, that thing can do everything. It's not great on the highway.
Why would you take the Magic School Bus on the highway? You need to be in, like, the circulatory system or gastrointestinal system. Like, it's too good for the highway.
It is.
This is literally the first pick that I can say absolutely nothing about because I've never seen one episode of the Magic School Bus and know virtually nothing about it except that Lily Tomlin may have been involved at one point.
She was, and she still is. She cameos on the Netflix revival, but she was the teacher, Miss Frizzle, on the first iteration of it. And then replaced by Kate McKinnon, who was also delightful. So,
oh, yeah.
Just overall a pleasant creation.
Yeah.
What do you got coming back?
All right. So coming back, I said the Magic School Bus is not a bus that you want to put on the highway. This bus, you definitely want to put on the highway. So
give me
the bus from Speed.
No! I knew that was coming.
First of all, it's very spacious. It is, until you pierce the fuel tank, it's very...
It's indestructible.
It's very fuel efficient because they drive around for a while before they run out of gas. And it's only when Keanu pierces the tank that they actually start to lose gas. And not only that, it can fly.
It can.
If you get it fast enough, it jumps a ramp. There is not a single bus that could do that. So give that to me. I will take it above 50, and I'll never drop it.
Bus 2525 with the side of Keanu Reeves goes to Lou Hare. Ryan.
That was my next pick. Thanks.
I love that. I've just stolen, just am stealing your picks at every turn.
I should note that is, we had three different vehicles that appeared on everyone's list, and this is one of the three.
Wow.
Bus 2525.
And yet it goes eighth round.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right, Ryan. It seems like Lou always makes you suffer.
That's right, because my next pick can destroy his pick. All it's got to do is turn right in front of him. You know, we live in a technological age. So I'm going to choose a bike that is the best bike in the technological cyberverse, so to speak. And I'm going to cut Lou off and destroy his Bus 25 with a light cycle from Tron.
Ooh, that is a tasty pick.
Now you're going with the original Tron and not Tron Legacy?
Can it be both?
Oh. Yeah, was there much of an upgrade?
Yeah, there really wasn't.
Is it the same?
They do the same thing. They go fast, and if you're trying to cut somebody off, to destroy them. So,
if you want to go really obscure, you can take my daughter's Tron cycle from Disney Infinity.
Pass.
Okay, cool.
I may have never seen Tron Legacy.
You're saving yourself 2 hours.
Yeah, and that's what we're here for: saving people 2 hours, 2 hours at a time.
I love it.
All right, Steve, you got something on the lights?
Yeah, yeah. Did anybody else just spend a ridiculous amount of money on the Tron arcade game, or was it just me?
No, I did. I mean, not mine. I spent a lot of my parents' money on it.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, you know.
Were you putting actual quarters in, or were you putting tokens in? I think that says a lot.
It depends. If I was at Aladdin's Castle, I was putting tokens in.
Aladdin's Castle. Okay. Steve, two for you.
All right, two for me. Well, the most powerful form of transport is the imagination. So I'm going to go with Snoopy's Sopwith Camel for this particular pick. A mild-mannered doghouse to most people, but it was able to transport him all across the European theater from World War I through many battles with the Red Baron. I'm picking the Sopwith Camel.
I love it. The first comic strip, and probably only comic strip vehicle we will encounter this evening.
So that was just strictly from the comics?
Yes.
Okay, because I had no idea what it was.
And then I get another one, I believe? Boy, this is where it gets really tricky, because I have several that I could take at this point. But I can't help but notice that I don't have any marine-going vehicles at this point. So I'm going to dip a little bit down on my big board and pick the Red October.
Ooh.
From The Hunt for Red October.
Good pick.
Which just, I love submarine movies in general. And I love how submarine movies affected the course of Star Trek stories. Red October, it's a fantastic technological beast for the time. And it held Tim Curry. So that's always good. yes, Red October is my first seagoing vehicle.
Very nice. All right, Ryan.
All right, so my last one was a motorcycle. I feel it's only fair that I do a bicycle now. I have two bicycles on my list, and this is really hard for me to choose one or the other. Lou, you just said so I think I know what you have, but I'm going to let you have it because I'm going to go with a bike that can get you away from pure evil itself. I'm going with Bill's Silver, the bike from Stephen King's It.
Okay.
I love this.
Now, that's a deep cut.
It literally saves Bill from the hideous clown in both the book and the movie. And it's a bicycle. And to get away from a murderous clown that can kill you at the drop of a hat is a no-brainer.
Yeah, always good to have an evil battling bike in your back pocket. Doesn't take up much space on in your garage either. All right, Lou.
Well, since I barely made it out of this round, I made it this far without losing my bicycle. I had two bicycles on my list too. Neither one were the one from It. So I'm going to go with my number one choice for a bicycle and give me Pee-wee Herman's bike from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Should have taken it from you, but I like my bike better.
To be fair, Pee-wee has never had to try to outrun a murderous clown.
True,
but he escaped the ghost of Large Marge.
But he wasn't on the bike.
He wasn't on the bike, but he was, you know, but once he got the bike, I mean, that thing had gadgets. That thing had a very deep
cargo holder.
Cargo holder, because like a lot of chain on that bike. So I'm a little concerned about its security system.
Yeah.
Because it was very easily stolen. But aside from that, I mean, I think it's going to outrun anything. It can do a lot. It's a very versatile bicycle, and you know, you need a nice bicycle to get yourself around when the weather's nice. So give me Pee-wee's bike.
You have Pee-wee's bike. What would you like to start the 10th round with?
I'm just going to do it, because I think, again, we're talking iconic vehicles from pop culture history. How has the Bluesmobile made it to the 10th round? So let me just take the Bluesmobile with four fried chickens and a Coke.
That is solid.
I mean, you want to talk about an indestructible car. That car literally did everything until the Blues Brothers completed their mission. And then it fell to pieces. Like it essentially just gave every inch of its being to complete that mission from God. And
what a fantastic movie.
And great, and good great pick. Spirit to that vehicle.
Absolutely. It's got a cop motor, got cop brakes, cop suspension. It was invented before catalytic converters, so it runs good on regular gas. That's my one quote for the night.
All right, Ryan.
All right, I'm trying to cover all aspects of transportation here, so I'm gonna pick a choice from Steve's wheelhouse, and of course, when I say Steve, I mean Tom Hanks. I've got two things on my list for Tom Hanks, but what better way to have or what better thing to have on your list than a train that can make all your dreams come true? I'm talking about the Polar Express.
You're okay. Going for that Craig McFarlane vote.
Yep.
Sneaky. Very sneaky.
One of the creepiest movies I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, CGI.
But one of the loveliest books that I've ever been able to share with my daughter.
Going for the heartstrings here.
Yeah.
This is another one that I've never seen. But this is by choice because it scares me as well.
Mm-hmm.
They may be telling us that the train goes to the North Pole, but I think it actually goes to the Uncanny Valley, and no thank you.
Yeah, it was the start of Zemeckis's weird, like, I don't really want to see human beings anymore.
Yeah.
Stretch with this and A Christmas Carol. Weird artistic decisions, but I can't deny the power of the Polar Express and the bell that, unfortunately, I can no longer hear. Steve, you have two going into round 10 and 11.
I have two, and this is where it gets interesting. I'm going for some bullpen depth here, going way out of the box, and I am going to pick the New York City Subway.
Ooh.
Which has featured in countless bits of pop culture, the Taking of Pelham 123, the jazz standard Take the A Train, Jay-Z's moniker is actually taken from the New York City Subway, The Warriors, Die Hard 3, I think it is, mm-hmm. and Spider-Man 2, which has like one of my favorite comic book scenes ever on it, that is set on I believe the New York City Subway, if I'm remembering correctly. But yes, I'm going with the New York City Subway.
Very good pick.
Thank you. And then for my next pick, again, another iconic vehicle. I'm not sure how this has gone unpicked so far, but I'm going to go with the Mystery Machine from Scooby-Doo.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Solid.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Magical School Bus is animated. I was going to say, I thought that was our...
I do think that's our first van.
Yep.
And interestingly, there's no consensus on what make or model it is, but everybody knows the Mystery Machine. That's where the munchies are. So,
why is smoke always coming out when they open the door? All right, Ryan.
All right. I am going to go real life pop culture right now, and this is a vehicle that needs no introduction because when you see it, you know what it is. I'm going with the Wienermobile.
Nice. I wish I were one.
You know what it is. I mean, it's synonymous. People go there to get whistles. I mean, and it's just to get whistles, too, and get their picture taken next to it. So, I mean, it's a popular car.
And surprisingly ubiquitous on eBay, I found. There are Wienermobiles for sale all over the internet.
Like full-size ones?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's interesting.
All right, Lou, your final two picks.
Oh, this is brutal because I have four highlighted because I went a little rogue earlier. And so now I'm in that quandary of these were my instinct to have in my queue, but then I went a little cray-cray. So I don't have anything that can go on water. So I feel like if I'm going to do that, I need a boat. So give me the Love Boat. Guaranteed the only form of transportation to come with its own charro.
Definitely.
Coochie, coochie, coochie.
So, yeah, you know, and again, it's big, it's comfortable. You can have a lot of fun on it. Crazy adventures. You never know who's going to show up.
You never know who's going to show up. Absolutely.
The only bit of trivia I have to add to this one is I actually took a cruise when I was wee small children that Jack Jones was the on-boat entertainment who sang the theme for the Love Boat. And, of course, that was what everybody was waiting to hear. And so
was he grouchy about a drunk in the back? Like, say the love bomb.
He was just generally slovenly. So, I mean, that's all I remember.
Freebird.
I mean, I was 10 years old at the time, so.
That's amazing. All right, Lou, your closer, buddy.
Oh, man.
The pick most likely to end up on waivers.
Yeah. All right. I'm deciding whether or not what audience I'm playing towards here. Because, and I'm looking at my other picks and thinking, okay, who am I not reaching out to here? And I guess since I went TV show last pick, I'm going to go TV show, and I'm going to pick a mode of transportation that can literally get you from heaven to hell. And that is the Trans-Eternal Railway from The Good Place.
Easily the most modern or the most up-to-date pick that we've had this evening.
Excellent. Good. Ripped from the Nielsen ratings.
Right. I mean, it can, I mean, it's, you can ponder philosophy while you are on it. It's, again, and this is a theme with mine, very comfortable. It looks delightful. And you know, if you find yourself in the bad place and you have to get out, there you go. It's right there.
Well, and there is the middle place with the one woman who is clearly down to party at any time whatsoever.
Mindy St. Clair can get it.
Yes, absolutely.
And she could throw a hell of a party. We'll watch Cannonball Run 2 on a loop. Sign me up.
Trans-Eternal Railroad is – Uber's not going to get you to Mindy St. Clair.
No.
No. Trans-Eternal Railroad is your only choice. Mm-hmm. All right, Ryan, your final pick.
Okay, I'm kind of surprised that this hasn't been taken, but, you know, I'm very movie heavy. I've got one real life, so I figured my last one should be from TV, and there's – two from TV that I really, really wanted to do, like desperately. So this was a hard pick, but I figure with this pick, I'm appealing to the masses, because who doesn't love Fred Flintstone? So I'm choosing the Footmobile from the Flintstones.
Yabba dabba doo.
Very strong pick.
I have to talk about this. Why didn't they just run places?
Because they're learning.
Well, yeah, because the feet get the car going. And
they invented the wheel. They didn't know how to power it.
Fair enough. Man, I can't even imagine the calluses.
Just like in the movie, had a flat tire.
So are you going animated or
I'm
going to
go
action?
Animated.
Okay, solid. Thank solid God. Choice. Yep. All right, Steve, you get to close us out.
It's the Mr. Irrelevant. But I don't think this is irrelevant at all. I mean, I could have gone a lot of different ways. There's so much gold still left on my list. There's the Firefox, the plane that required you to think in Russian to fly it. there's the Shield helicarrier. There's Air Force One. But I'm actually going to go with a classic here. I'm going to go with the Nautilus. From 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, but I'm actually going to specify the version from A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which was about the only good thing about that movie. So
that just
the
made
Nautilus.
Your pick.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, yep. Oh, okay, classic.
Boom, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
All right, fantastic. All right, so we have our teams. But real quick.
I want like three more picks at least.
I know, right?
But real quick. Each of you get three that you feel need to be noted, but they just didn't make your team for whatever reason. Since it was Lou's idea, we'll start with Lou.
Okay.
Three that hurt your heart, but they're not on your team.
Okay. Well, what hurts my heart is the lack of the A-Team van.
Sure.
My love of the A-Team is well documented on this program. So that one kind of hurt, but again, I already had some sort of kind of bigger vehicles that can seat multiple people, so I had to leave that one go. I will also say, you know, if you just want to tool around with your friends around town, the Mirthmobile from Wayne's World, Like, again, you know, comfortable, fits like five, fits your three headbanging buddies in the back. And then I went, you know, I like a good sledding in the wintertime. So I would have also loved to pick Rosebud.
Ooh.
I had a sled I was thinking about, but it was the greased up saucer from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I thought about that, but it's very dangerous.
Yes. Up, dude. Yes. Safety first.
Yes.
All right, Ryan, are there any that are hanging out there for you that still sting a little bit?
Yes, there are three, and I basically broke it down into three categories. One from TV that I really wish I had the opportunity to pick, but there was just not an opportunity, is the blue stair car from Arrested Development.
Yeah,
I had that on there.
I mean, I really wanted it, but it didn't work out. I've got some cool cars in there. From real life, like, you know, a real life pop culture moment that I wish I could have picked was the Popemobile. But I chose the Wienermobile, and I think I chose right. So,
okay, sure.
But one from the movies that I just wish I it was very tough for me not to pick this, but that would have been the Shaggin' Wagon from Dumb and Dumber.
That as well, yes.
So yep. That was a hard one.
All right, Steve, how about you, man?
Well,
what are you grieving over now?
I have a group of three that actually kind of fit together thematically in terms of scary vehicles. One would be Christine. Car from the Stephen King novel.
Let's say the John Carpenter movie, because yes. that novel is an abomination.
Absolutely.
Thank you, cocaine.
And then Dracula from both the Munsters and Rob Zombie.
Okay.
Was on my list as well. And then finally, it really hurt my heart not to pick this one, but Willy Wonka's Tunnel of Terror.
Would have been
one I would have put on there as well.
Which I did determine through some research was called the Wonkatania. Yeah.
You know, I looked for that for a long time and couldn't find it. So fair play to you.
Okay. Well, guess what, guys? Here's where I get to have my fun, because we have a little bit of a twist.
Oh, boy.
So I have something in my hand called the Commissioner's List. It's five things that I came up with that were not on any of your lists.
Oh.
Now, each of you is going to get a chance. We're going to start with Lou and go back. You can swap any one of your picks for any one of mine. You don't have to swap any, but I'm going to give you that opportunity with these five that weren't on any of your lists. So think about it hard. Here is the Commissioner's List for the From Here to There draft.
Right. Excellent.
First, since we are in the home of John Deere, I included the John Deere 110 lawn tractor from David Lynch's A Straight Story, which a gentleman used in a true story. Gentleman drove his lawn tractor that averaged about 5 miles per hour through Iowa and Wisconsin to see his estranged brother who had a stroke. But the fact that it was John Deere, I thought it had to be included. The second one is from Saturday Night Live. This one, all the credit goes to my wife. It is Sean Spicer's podium that was used by Melissa McCarthy to drive through New York and yell things at passersby. Mm-hmm. The one I want the most would be webs from Spider-Man, which he used to propel himself into all sorts of mischief. A fourth one, Lou, my wife tipped this off to Lou at a meet and greet, but he must have either neglected it or dismissed it. But Mary Poppins' umbrella is a very non-standard means of transportation in the spirit of Mjolnir, Thor's hammer. And finally, a item that I think we just missed generationally, but the broomsticks from Harry Potter.
Oh, that's been on my radar.
I think if we took 10 years off of any of our lives, that would have been a no miss for a pick.
Are you saying still, we're old? Because you're right.
I still don't understand how you sit on the thing, but I just think Harry Potter just missed us it being in that area where you're most filled with sort of fantasy and that sort of spirit.
I was also thinking about the witches' brooms and the vacuum from Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah.
So that's just something I had thought of. So
again, revealing our ages. So Lou, are there any swaps you would like to make with any of these weird things that I came up with?
Well, I gotta think, I guess... This is the Oscar debate all over again. Do I go with my heart or do I go with my head?
Well, you won the Oscar draft.
I did. So you know,
I don't remember what you went with, but
well, I went with Green Book and Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, so you were cynical as hell.
Yes, because I went with what I thought was going to win versus what I wanted to win. So if I keep that mindset. And I go with something, replace something that I think would bolster my appeal amongst our loyal listener base and remove something that I don't think gets me much. As much as I would like to have versatility at sea, I'll swap out the Love Boat and give me Harry Potter's
broomsticks.
Brutal.
I played a win, baby.
Brutal.
You can't see it because we're recording, but I got a tracksuit on. I'm Al Davis over here. Just win, baby.
Oh. No, that's good. That's a solid choice.
All right, Ryan, is there anything? Broomstick is off the board.
Yep. This is hard because...
Well, yeah, that's the idea, man. Yeah.
I mean, I have Mjolnir. And I could trade that out for Spider-Man. That's kind of what I'm thinking right now. But just trying to think in terms of popularity. And I think Spider-Man is a little more popular than Thor. But and like you said, who can wield it? And there's only one person that can do it. So I am going to switch Mjolnir with the web shooters from Spider-Man.
All right.
Both, by the way, will mess up your rotator cuff.
Well, I'd rather have my rotator cuff than my whole arm when I try to catch Mjolnir.
Yeah, you never have to catch anything as the web shooter.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You just go. All right, Steve, you have John Deere Tractor, Sean Spicer's Podium, and Mary Poppins' Umbrella left.
Okay, I suppose I can't pick up Mjolnir as a sloppy second.
No, unfortunately not.
You know what? I'm a little heavy on Seacraft. I've got two that... kind of fill the same niche. I'm going to ditch Red October, and I'm going to pick up Mary Poppins' Umbrella.
The Umbrella.
Again, know your audience.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Read the
That's
room.
That's right. That's why I chose Spider-Man.
Yep.
But again, very tough on the shoulders.
Sure. Sure. But it looks like a smoother ride than like Mjolnir.
And there's less work that you have to do. All you have to do is just bend your wrist to get the web instead of having to twirl that thing to pass them.
And it's
tunnel, you know.
And it's the only umbrella I've ever seen that can withstand wind that mm-hmm. doesn't just like spin you off into every direction. So it's,
oh yeah, it doesn't even flinch.
No, it's got some sturdiness to it.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
They don't make them like they used to.
All right, we have our final teams, gentlemen. Your teams are for Steve, TARDIS, Millennium Falcon, the DeLorean from Back to the Future, General Lee, Kit, Greased Lightning, Baby from Supernatural, Snoopy's Sopwith Camel, Mary Poppins' Umbrella, the New York City Subway, from the movies, not the one now, because the subways are a disaster right now. Like, the good ones from the movies that are on time and stuff. The Mystery Machine from Scooby-Doo, and the Nautilus from, I just blanked
League
on the
of Extraordinary.
League of Extraordinary
League Gentlemen. Of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Ryan's team, the Batmobile from 1989, Tim Burton's Batman, Orca from Jaws, Serenity from Serenity and or Firefly, Bill and Ted's Time Traveling Phone Booth. What does that say? Bad handwriting by me.
Nebuchadnezzar?
Nebuchadnezzar.
Oh, yeah, I quit. I was writing it out and I was like, see, forget it. So I just have Nebok on there. The Nebuchadnezzar from The Matrix. Aston Martin from Goldfinger. Spider-Man's web shooters. The Tron Cycle from Tron. Silver from the book and or film It. The Polar Express. The Wienermobile. And... oh, and the Footmobile from the Flintstones. The animated Flintstones. And Lou, finally, the USS Enterprise. Drogon, Trans Am, the portals from Doctor Strange, Ecto-1, War Rig from Mad Max, Magic School Bus, another bus, Bus 2525 from Speed, Pee Wee Herman's Bicycle, the Bluesmobile, Harry Potter's Broomsticks, and the Trans Eternal Railroad. A tremendous draft, you guys. Well done. Now it goes to the people, and we will see... which of you is crowned the From Here to There champion?
I've got Star Wars and Ghostbusters. I've got Star Trek and Ghostbusters. So if Scott doesn't vote for me, there's nothing more I can do.
I love that we're going for specific people. Well, I know Craig will like this. So thank you very much, guys, for participating. This is a lot of fun, and it went a lot of weird places. I did want to note... my one regret is I was going to put the USS John McCain as one of the five because the idea that they had to hide it from Donald Trump, I find absolutely hysterical.
Yeah, I would have picked it.
And the one pop culture one that was on someone's list that I'm kind of surprised it missed was OJ's white Bronco.
I had it. I had it, but I didn't do it.
I think that would have fit really well in with Steve's picks, right between the General Lee and Grease Lightning.
But that is it. The wrap up for the From Here to There draft. Before we depart, a look ahead. Lou Hare, our Guilty Pleasures host. Are there any guilties you plan on pleasuring in the near future?
I will leave that within my home, good sir. Thank you.
What's upcoming?
Upcoming is, as of this recording, is Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Wonderful movie.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to record. Wild Wild West is coming up. Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, which I just watched last night, and it's buck wild. So those three are definitely coming up. I also recently did a bracket podcast on the greatest sports movie of all time. That'll be coming up, and a podcast about the year in review 1994, where we talked all about all the different movies that came out, and I made the case of why I think it's one of the, if not the greatest movie year of all time, to accompany the article that I wrote for FRNpod.com.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to record, and it is exhaustive.
Oh, yeah.
Dig in. Steve, our master of words, do we have any... articles upcoming that you want to highlight?
Well, that's a good segue because Lou's 1994 article, which is a fantastic bit of reading, will be posting here in the next couple of days. Beyond that, we'll have a commissioner's list article of some downloadable characters we'd like to see for Mortal Kombat. Currently we have, launched a story on Toy Story, by Craig McFarlane, which is a nice piece. And yours truly has up, the top 10 movie franchises, according to me. So check it out at FRNpod.com.
Ryan, what do you do,
man? Well, right now, since I don't really have a computer, I'm working off my school laptop. I can use, because I don't have talent anymore. On it. Fight to bring back flashbacks back with cool. I'm just gonna blitzkrieg you and just give you all sorts of fun stuff like Willow and Evil Dead. My days of being sole co-host are almost over, but tomorrow or sometime me and you are going to record a full disclosure for the new Child's Play, so look forward to that too.
Okay. In a similar vein to Lou, I have the rest of 2019 planned out. When these things are going to pop, who knows? But upcoming, we have a Stephen King adaptation draft. Lou and I are going to try and do a horror movie draft slash bracket crossover. So we would do a draft that would then be plugged into a bracket, and then Lou would work his magic on that. That is naturally planned for October and Halloween and all the fun horror movie stuff we do.
Please count me in.
Then for Thanksgiving, we're going to have the nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea draft for Thanksgiving. It's going to be the most memorable scenes involving food. And then around Christmas, we'll have a Christmas movie draft. And in addition to that, we'll have random Commissioner's Corner episodes. We started recording what we're calling the Pop Culture Draft Night watch parties, where we watch a weird movie and then immediately talk about it. So that'll cover the rest of our year. But as far as tonight goes, check out the Front Row Network social media. We will have places for you to vote on these teams. So on behalf of my guests, Ryan Luton, Steve Sykes, Lou Hare, my name is Phil Rockwell, and Godspeed to you all.